Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. The title of the message this morning, Leaning on the Same. The constancy and consistency of the single-minded. A life that has bled the same color day after day. Commitment that has not waned. Devotion that has not deviated. Standards that have not shifted. A walk that has stood the test of time. A life such as this truly is a testimony, an epistle, a living epistle, an ensign, an example, a sign, and a wonder, a pattern, should one seek the same manner. The testimony of such a life lives to bless generations, to encourage, to strengthen, to command and charge, to build up, to hold, to fuel, to compel and impel. The testimony of such a life lives still when the one has taken up the ghost. The reed-like nature dealt with. This one not tossed to and fro. Steadfast, immovable, firm and loyal, faithful, leaning on the same. Oh, to live in such a manner, to be such a testimony, and then to pass from this life into glory in the same manner. Have you known any, and do they now come to mind, those of whom the world was not worthy? We read verses such as Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance that is the realization of things hoped for, the evidence or the confidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And what of verse 4? By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. What words? He being dead, still speaks. Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. We know the ark that Noah was called to build. We know the story of this righteous man's faithfulness. A calling upon his life. A call upon his life. Noah built the ark, and yet the ark that was the man had the attention of God. Genesis 6, beginning of verse 1, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. The ark that was the man found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah walked with God. Verse 14, make yourself an ark. And may the Spirit speak to us today. Make yourself an ark. Verse 18, I will establish my covenant with you. Verse 22, thus Noah did. According to all that God commanded him, so he did. This man's life, this man's testimony still speaks. An example in life and death. And this should be our great desire. This should be important to us, of great concern. We should actually feel the holy weight of this calling. I've shared this before. David Ravenhill, the son of Leonard Ravenhill, he said, I cannot say that as a youngster I was ever an avid bookworm. Things have changed a great deal, however, since those days. What I do vividly recall was that my first real knowledge of the Bible came first through reading the Epistle Leonard. That's right, the Epistle Leonard. You won't find it in your Bible, although it was inferred by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:2. When he wrote, you are our epistle, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. Yes, it was this epistle that first stirred my interest in knowing more about God and his word. My father's life, prayers, tears, and preaching were never wasted on this very grateful son. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:2, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. The Living Bible, the only letter I need is you yourself. Philip's New Testament, you yourselves are our testimonial, written in our hearts and yet open for anyone to inspect and read. You are an open letter about Christ, which we ourselves have written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Our message has been engraved not in stone, but in living men and women. In the Voice Bible, you are our letter, every word burned onto our hearts to be read by everyone. I've known, and I'm sure many could testify today, I've known those of a more excellent sacrifice. They obtained witness that they were righteous, God testifying of their gifts, and through it, they being dead, still speak. Hebrews 11, verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. The Message paraphrased, by an act of faith, Jacob on his deathbed blessed each of Joseph's sons in turn, blessing them with God's blessing, not his own. Wow. As he bowed worshipfully upon his staff. A man who walked with God. A man who still walked with God. A man who leaned upon the right in life. A man who feared and worshiped the Lord, and here in his final hour, a man with God. A man leaning on the same. A man secure in the fear of the Lord, a man of worship and of proper posture. The words of Charles Spurgeon, "Beloved, in this manner, believers bless the sons of men, namely by faith. We pray for them, and we tell them about good things yet to come, not to be seen by the eye or to be perceived by the senses, but inconceivably good. Things laid up by God for those who love Him." Things which shall be the portion of our children and our friends if they believe in the living God. By faith we believe in things not seen as yet. We confess that like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we are strangers here, and we are journeying towards a place of which God has spoken to us. A city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We've learned to talk about the crown which the Lord has laid up for us, and not for us only, but for all those who love His appearing. And we delight to tell others how to win this crown. We point them to the narrow gate and to the narrow way, neither of which they can see, and to the end of that narrow road, even to the hilltops crowned with the celestial city, where the pilgrims of the Lord shall dwell forever. Where they shall dwell forever and enjoy an eternal reward. Faith is needed to enable us to point men to the invisible and eternal. And if we cannot do this, how can we bless them? We must believe for those we love and have hope for them. Thus shall we have power with God for them and shall bless them. O you worldly fathers, you may give your sons whatever inheritance you can and divide among your daughters whatever wealth you please. But as for us, our longing is to see our children and our children's children endowed with the riches which come from above. If they win a share in the land on the other side of Jordan as yet unseen and have a portion now in Christ Jesus, we shall be glad. Infinitely more glad than if they were the richest among mankind. Our legacies to our sons are the blessings of grace, and our dowries to our daughters are the promises of the Lord. Genesis 22:18, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Or what of Psalm 112, 1-3, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures, stands forever." Christian pilgrim, live here like a stranger, not a resident. The entirety of this life, the journeying towards a place of which God has spoken to us. 1 Chronicles 29:15, "For we are aliens," that is temporary residents, "and pilgrims," transients, "before you, as were all our fathers." 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable. Heaven forbid we trust in the staff or lean on the staff of this broken reed, Egypt. Whereon if a man lean, it'll go into his hand and pierce it. Strangers, not residents. If I could exhort you today and encourage you today, confess that you're a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. Hebrews 11, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Do not pine for the love of the world. John 15, 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. Do not love the world or the things of it. 1 John 2, 15 to 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. God's looking for a faithful people that are leaning on the right in life, leaning on the right for all their days. And at the end of days, we'll still be leaning on the same. May our lives point in the right direction, and may the longing of holy legacy grip and govern our souls. Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Voice Bible, teach a child how to follow the right way. Even when he is old, he will stay on course. This call is upon each of us, for there are those that are listening to us, observing and watching us, reading us. It's not just training from the lips, but the entirety of the frame. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, can you imagine being able to say these words? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He's saying, follow me, and if you follow me, my manner of existence, my manner of faith, if you lean on what I'm leaning on, you will be following Christ. You know, we are who we are today. We are who we are today. Should the past be one that dripped with faithfulness and yet the present be dry with lethargy? This would not be the ideal of our God. Oh, to be those leaning on the same. Is there not a cry in our hearts to be a pillar of the faith? To remain a pillar of the faith, to then be a pillar of the faith, and to die as the same? Faith-filled and faithful. That's the way of the Lord. A heart for the kingdom all the days of existence. A heart for the house of the Lord. all the days of existence, a heart for prayer and worship, a heart for others, the heart of a sower. I want to ask today, will you make yourself an ark? The Lord will establish his covenant with you. Thus do according to all that God commands you, so do. Lean on the same. Lean on the same despite ridicule. There will be those that label us fools and that call us and our faith a waste of time, too rigid, too serious, too religious, too exact. Yeah, a waste of time, a waste of life, a waste of finances, a waste of opportunity. Well, I share these words. Brethren, at the last great day, ungodly men will be witnesses on behalf of the saints. If any doubt whether the saints trusted in God, the wicked will be compelled to come forward and say, they did trust, for we laughed at them for it. Of this and that man, they shall say he trusted on God, that he would deliver him. In that day, the unbelieving will be swift witnesses against themselves. For as they ridiculed the children of God here, they will have it read out before them as evidence of their enmity against the Lord. And how will they answer it? A man is generally much grieved with anyone who injures his children. I have known a man behave patiently to his neighbors and to put up with a great deal from them. But when one of them has struck his child, I have seen him incensed to the last degree. He has said, I cannot stand that. I will not look on and see my own children ill-used. The Lord says, he that touches you touches the apple of my eye. Jesus rises from his throne in glory and stands up indignantly while his servant Stephen is being stoned. If I had no other amusement, whatever, I would not, for merriment's sake, mock the people of God. For it will go hard with those who make unhallowed mirth of the saints of the Most High. If any of you have ever done so, if you have done so ignorantly, the Lord forgive you and bring you to be numbered among his people, as was Saul of Tarsus. And if any of you have done so knowingly, be humble and penitent, and the Lord will forgive you and receive you amongst his people. But whether we revile or flatter, it is all one to us. We are at a pass with you. We do trust in God that he will deliver us. And we cannot be removed from this confidence. O ye mockers, we will not be fooled out of our hope, nor jested out of our peace. We cannot find anyone like our God to trust to. And so we will not depart from him in life or death, but rest in him. Come whatever may, even till we see him face to face. Lean on the same. A life of constancy, consistency, faithfulness, perseverance, loyalty, devotion. 2 Peter 3:3, do you know this? Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. The RSV, you must understand this, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing. The Amplified Bible, know without any doubt that mockers will come in the last days with their mocking, following after their own human desires. The J.B. Phillips New Testament, you must realize that in the last days, mockers will undoubtedly come, men whose only guide in this life is what they want for themselves. Let them scoff. Lean on the same. Let them mock. Lean on the same. The message of the cross has always been foolishness to those that are perishing. but the power of God and salvation for those that believe. Keep offering a more excellent sacrifice through which we obtain witness that we are righteous, God testifying of our gifts. And the utterance remains in life or death, the utterance speaking. By God's grace, may a life of constancy and consistency, of single-minded purpose, lead the jester out of his folly. I pray for all of us a spirit of longevity, a fitting word for a graduation. Longevity. For Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast, not loose. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. And that's not just lips. That's life. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You know, may we be like our Lord in nature. One who always is leaning on the same yesterday, today, and forever. No shadow of turning. The character of the one who created us, who saved us, is saving us and making us fit for glory. Lord, I want to be like you. Constant, consistent, faithful, loyal, true, devoted. What beautiful words. I know nothing which I would choose to have as the subject of my ambition for life than to be kept faithful to my God till death. John Wesley said, there is no faithfulness like that which ought to be between a guide of souls and the person directed by him. They ought continually to regard each other in God and closely to examine themselves, whether all their thoughts are pure, and all their words directed with Christian discretion. Other affairs are only the things of men, but these peculiar. These the things of God. We can have the worship team return today. Catherine Booth, we are made, and can you receive this today? We are made for larger ends than earth can encompass. Oh, let us be true to our exalted destiny. Hold fast, not loose. Charles Spurgeon, we have come to a turning point in the road. If we turn to the right, mayhap our children and our children's children will go that way. But if we turn to the left, generations yet unborn will curse our names for having been unfaithful to God and to his word. The choice is before us. Hebrews 11:21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. The Wycliffe Bible honored the highness of his staff and honored the highness of his rod. His staff, a staff or a walking stick, a rod, a branch, as used on a journey to lean upon or by shepherds. When applied to kings with a rod of iron, indicates the severest, most rigorous rule. A royal scepter. Symbolically, this speaks of Jacob's trust in the Lord. He leaned upon that staff as a shepherd. He leaned upon that staff as a father, as a grandfather, as a pilgrim, as a saint, as a man of faith, as a man of God. This man's hope was the Lord, and his hope was in the Lord. And he recognized the highness of the staff of one unswervingly faithful to the Lord till the end. You know, he didn't get loose with convictions, embracing concessions and liberties. This man leaned upon his staff, and he finished his life stayed on God. I wonder, are you here today? Perhaps you've traded. You've traded for a new staff, a new standard, a new rod of rule. For some, what you're leaning on now needs change. This can't go on the same. Go wrestle with God. The hip needs to be touched. And may the Spirit speak. When it is, you'll walk with the new staff and a higher staff. A man who wrestled with God. We know the story. Genesis 32, beginning at verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." That's heel catcher, supplanter. And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. He will rule as God." For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. What do we see here? We see a man who never walked the same again. A man who walked different after that holy night. It was visible in the flesh. Was this staff necessary as a result of that night? You see, when the Lord touches the socket of your hip, you'll forever live knowing your dependency upon Him. Yes, He, the Lord, shall rule as God, and man, that man shall rule life and living as God would. Every step a reminder. The staff you lean upon a reminder. The staff you lean upon in order to bless. The staff you lean upon in order to worship. People of God, let us choose now to have as the subject of our ambition for life to be kept faithful to God till death. Let's stand in the house today.